to the sermon summary. This Sunday at our church, we covered Romans chapter 7, and starting in verse 14 through the end of the chapter. I know this text is highly debated on whether one option is to understand it as Paul talking about himself at his present tense as a believer, or if he's talking about himself still in a testimonial way of what he was like before salvation. The position I take, and I know there are good men on both sides of this, and I may change in the future, I'm not sure, but at least for me, when I first look at the reasoning for taking option one, would be this, that Paul's tense clearly shifts in the chapter. He starts speaking in the present tense. It would seem very odd that he would switch to the present tense if he's still talking about the past. He also explains a hatred for sin and a desire for right throughout the passage, and this would be in line with a believer. He also says that his inner man joyfully concurs with the law. It would be quite odd if after Paul says all have sinned and gone astray and love their sin and strongly argued for depravity in Romans, of the depravity of the law, for him to say that a lost person joyfully concurs with the law of God. It would very clearly seem to me that he's talking as a believer. With that out of the way, I just want to walk through the passage very quickly. It says, "For we know that the law is spiritual, but I am flesh sold into bondage to sin." So we see that the law is there, as he's already explained, to show our sinfulness, to make his sin utterly sinful, where it came in so that sin would increase, and points out man's sinfulness. It says, "I am of flesh sold into bondage to sin." So we continue to live in a human body that is plagued by sin and temptation, is tainted by sin. He says, verse 15, he explains it, "For what he's doing, he does not understand. For I'm not practicing what I would like to do, but I am doing the very thing that I hate." So he has this desire to do what's right, but he's doing that which he hates, sin. And he says, "But if I do the very thing I do not want to do, I agree with the law, confessing that the law is good." So when we recognize that we are sinning and doing that which we ought not to do, is this not stating that the law is a good thing to follow? If it wasn't, then this discussion would never have to be had. But verse 16, "If I do the very thing I do not want to do, I agree with the law, confessing that the law is good. So now, no longer am I the one doing it, but sin which dwells in me." And now, this is clearly not a passage, nor is there any passage that takes the responsibility away from man for their sin. We are responsible for our sin. We are responsible for turning away from evil and seeking to please the Lord, to work out our salvation with fear and trembling. But of course, the Lord is the one who works in us the willing and the doing. But he's pointing out that he has this inward change of desiring to please the Lord and live for him while he's still in this sinful body that has these passions, these desires of the flesh, and wants to do sin, and that there's now this battle that's happening with inside of himself that did not happen before. Before salvation, we are happily on our way in our sin, rejecting God. "So now, no longer am I the one doing it, but sin which dwells in me. For I know that nothing good dwells in me, that is, in my flesh." So he specifies that this is in relationship to his flesh. Of course, a believer has a spirit indwelling them, and they have new spiritual life, but the unglorified body remains tainted by sin. "For the willing is present in me, but the doing of the good is not." So we have this desire to do that which is right, but sometimes, and oftentimes, we find the actions in disaccord with our desires. And even sometimes in the midst of sinning, we think, losing our anger with somebody, we know this is wrong, I shouldn't be doing this, I want to please Christ, and yet we find ourselves doing it as we're even thinking those thoughts. He says, "For I know that nothing good dwells in me, that is in my flesh. The willing is present in me, the doing of good is not." Verse 19, "For the good that I want, I do not do, but I practice the very evil that I do not want. But if I am doing the very thing I do not want, I am no longer the one doing it, but sin which dwells in me." We can recognize that those who have been made new have new desires placed on the inside, desires to please God. And these desires don't always come to fruition, and that is the battle of our new versus our old. So he finds this principle, that evil is present in him, even though he wants to do good. And he says, "For I joyfully concur with the law of God in the inner man, But I see a different law in the members of my body, waging war against the law of my mind and making me a prisoner of the law of sin, which is in my members. So really it goes right along with Galatians 5, where it talks about the spirit sets itself against the flesh and the flesh against the spirit, and that there's this internal battle. We often think of this spiritual warfare about us, but really there's a spiritual warfare inside of us, between our flesh and walking in righteousness and following after Christ. Verse 24, he says, "Wretched man that I am, who will set me free from the body of sin and death? Thanks be to God through Jesus Christ our Lord." So why, maybe we ask this question here, why does God allow believers to continue to struggle with sin? Why doesn't he just progressively sanctify us right there when we accept Christ as our Lord and Savior completely? Well, I would say there's four things, though of course we can't answer. There's no Bible verse that gives us exactly why, but we do know it keeps us humble, keeps us from pride. It forces us to fight the good fight. It allows us to work out our salvation with fear and trembling. It forces us to continually to look to the Savior. So every time we sin and we take our eyes off of Jesus, we put our eyes on sin, and then we repent. How good it is to taste and see that Jesus is gracious and merciful, and there's continual forgiveness in him. And then it gives all the praise and the glory to God for one day when we do receive our glorified bodies and we see Christ and we shall be like him. All the praise, all the glory goes to him. So I'm going to jump, we'll just read the end. Thanks be to God through Jesus Christ our Lord. So then, on the one hand, I find myself with my mind, I am serving the law of God, but on the other, with my flesh, the law of sin. And that is, we ought to continually then, because of this battle inside of us, be striving for righteousness. And what do we understand? Are we bound to the law? Well, Paul makes it clear that we're not. We're now bound to Christ. But as we're bound to Christ, we're actually held to a higher standard, to this internal change that has taken place, and seeing this internal change coming out on the outside, and loving God and loving others, if we boil down the law. So close with this: by the law to my sin, once hopelessly bound, until by God's grace I was found. Now sin's chains are broken, by the Savior's sweet body being broken. May we move forever onward, leaving behind our past, till we see Jesus' face at last. Hope this was a helpful time for you, and if you'd like to receive updates whenever these are posted, please send an email to kvtbcny@gmail.com. Hope you have a great day.